I was hoping you'd introduce me, so that was good. Thank you. You're way too serious. We're going to have to loosen up a little bit. Get your phone out. Get your phone out. None of you have phones? Nobody has a phone in the house? Two of you. Hey, remember, God's looking down. He sees if you're lying. All your phones, everybody get your phone out, because I was looking at something, and this week I, what's the title? Following Jesus in a self, just a second, selfie-centered world. I went to pastor's office over on 12th Street this week, and we asked the owner to be a part of our life with us, and he took a selfie, pastor took a selfie. Pastor has a phone. How many have phones? Take a selfie of yourself right now. Go ahead. In church? Yeah, because normally we ask you to turn them off. How many have never taken a selfie? Let me see your hands. Okay, forget that. Good night. Man alive. I told you the other day, I said, Trish and I lay in bed and text each other good night. It's kind of cool. So, what is a selfie? Mom, you know what a selfie is? She said, no. Anyway, we're in this pandemic and we're in the middle of all this virus. And I just pray that we can keep the mask on forever. All in favor, say aye. I heard, who said no? Nancy, thank you. When I asked you to help me earlier, I didn't mean that you stayed no, okay. But I want to talk about some struggles that we're having in the middle of this pandemic and in the middle of our world, because some of you have possibly listened to social media. Have you ever listened to social media? Raise your hand. None of you, okay, two of you. Remember, God's looking down. I've got to get you being honest, but what I want to do is talk about with social media against the biblical values, because I think we should keep our churches closed forever. Am I going to get you guys moving in here at all? Jesus is Lord. Oh, now we're coming. He is risen. That's right. Okay, I'm not against social media. I have a phone, I take selfies, I look at pictures and everything else. As a matter of fact, just a second. Somebody text me something, and I just had it, who? Just a second, here it is. I do this when I'm driving. Friday, Marty Mitchell and I were doing a funeral together, and I worked part-time with him, and while we're doing this serious funeral, he texts me this. I have the most loving wife. Last night I woke up while she was holding a pillow tightly over my face to protect me from the COVID-19. And then he sent me another one, and we're trying to be, thank God for the mask at the funeral, because they couldn't see that I was laughing. It looked like I was very serious. Okay, you just shared it this morning, and he texted to me. Pray for your pastor's wife. She has to put up with your pastor. I don't think we go, just be real quiet. Katie, we love you, God bless you. Trish and I are so excited to be a part of Pastor John's and Katie's life, and we get out of the virus and pandemic, maybe we can even see each other besides texting. But anyway, there's a lot of neat parts of social media, but also a lot of benefits, but there's also some downsides to this social media. And I want to share between biblical values and social media right now. I don't know about you, but there's been, where I'm meeting people constantly, there's a lot of discontentment in our world. And I've watched people being discontented with everything and trying to not understand what it is to be content. I've seen godly people that have worried. I know we say concerns, it covers a multitude of sins. What's happening, some of you are worried. Now we're trying to do our best, and Pastor, I've watched him, and how he has handled this in our church is incredible, because we've never been taught how to handle a pandemic like this. We want to fill the building. The first time I ever preached here, I said, man, if God gives us a 600-seat sanctuary, what did he do it for? To empty it. I never would have thought that. I never thought we'd have to tape pews and keep people every other 6 feet away. Sometimes what happens in this world about contentment and discontentment, I'm discontented, we compare with other people. I don't know, maybe you've never done that, but I want to share how we can be content in Christ. Now, this is a big problem today, and I'm seeing it all the time. Never in history have, and especially just before the pandemic, have we had so much, and yet we want so much more. Sociologists tell us, some of them are saying that social media is the driving force of discontentment. Just a second, I'm getting a text from God. No, I'm not. We look at people online. You ever Google and look online, and they just look like they have their life perfect. Other teenagers, it's perfect. Everything's going great for them. I heard this statement the other day. We compare our behind the scenes with their highlight reels. You're home by yourself, and you Google, and you see your friends out on a date eating lobster, and you're home having lean cuisine. Because of social media, we can measure our popularity. When I was young, I felt maybe I wasn't as popular, but today I could measure. I only have 287 followers. She has 400. What is that about? Life isn't fair. We compare with others. Life just sucks, man. Not good. A research of two colleges not too long ago, they had students spend a half hour on Facebook. You all know what Facebook is, right? In that half hour, one third of the students felt depressed. Envy is the number one emotion that these kids felt. This is a real issue today. If we're going to meet the needs of people today in this pandemic world that you and I live in, why should they go to church? Well, it's safe. How safe is it? Well, I won't spit on you too much. They're saying now in California, think about this. A lot of the big churches cannot take their mask off in church because singing, it goes further than 6 feet. Thank God they don't watch the news. I'm glad to hear this. This is good. I'll just listen to whatever I tell you. It's true, okay? Listen, I want us to be honest and expose any discontentments that you and I have. Now, don't look around, because this is not good. Three different categories of discontentment, and I want you to be really honest, just like you were a minute ago. Remember, God's looking. We're in church. Be honest. I'll be looking over here. Just see how you answer. The first one is material and financial discontentment. Material and financial discontentment. Say that out loud. Material and financial discontentment. Okay. Your friend just posted a picture of their new car. Their new phone. I don't know. Oh, man. They just put on Facebook, they're at the beach. Again. Guys, we don't have much problem with this, but women, sometimes you look on a picture of all her shoes. Guys, don't laugh. It's not good. Dangerous on your way home. If you ever dealt with material or financial discontentment, just put your hand up a little bit. I'm looking to see who's telling the truth and who isn't. We'll have an altar call later, okay? Okay, next one is relational. Darren? Yeah. Discontent. Relational discontentment. Say relational. That's too loud. Your friends have an event. Think about this. Your friends begin to have an event, and you find out that you were not invited. Somebody posts a picture of they're with their children. This was a tough one during the pandemic. We'd watch and look online, and we went 3 months without seeing our kids. And we'd see somebody having their family picture, and they're sitting with all their kids. You're working so many hours trying to make ends meet, and you feel guilty thinking about that, but you see this relational intimacy. It seems like you look online and their marriage is perfect. It's so good. And you feel envious. You ever felt like that? Don't raise your hand. Good, we're in unity. Third one, Darren, is circumstantial. Yeah, say it out loud. Circumstantial. I want you to help me preach this so my mother doesn't fall asleep. Help me here. I remember thinking that by this time in my life, when I hit this age, maybe I'd be doing something else. You ever see, when you look online and you see people posting pictures of a baby before they were born, you look at, they're showing everything, and you can't have babies? This one gets to me because through the years, I remember people showing pictures, Pastor, of getting away for the weekend, and we work weekends every day. Every year, okay, I'll serve God. You go out and have fun. Just kidding. Be honest, right? Someone said to us that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. Think about that. 10%, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. In reality, we really think it's the opposite of that. Apostle Paul, the one who went around and killed Christians and then became one. Paul, we wouldn't let him even sit in our sanctuary, even how big it is. There's no way you'd want to have him preach after he's out there killing people, killing Christians, and then he gets converted. Wow. Look, he's the master of responding with a Christ-like attitude. He learned in this area of contentment. And he's writing this scripture, what we're going to read, while he's in prison. He was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. He's not on the beach somewhere. Life is not great for Paul. And he writes these words. Look at it. Philippians chapter 4, 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. But I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, or whether I'm in a pandemic or not and can't stand the mask. Amen. Thank you. Or ouch. He found the secret of being content. Do we need that in our world? Do we need that in the sanctuary? Of course not. We're perfect Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. We go to the Marshalltown Nazarene Church. We have a great pastor. Yeah. All right. I knew you were out there. Look what he says. He goes on to say, I want you to read it out loud with me and put the word Christ in there. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Let's say it again out loud. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Wow. Philippians 4:13. You see, the secret today of contentment is not in what I have or what I don't have. It's in a song we sang this morning, in Christ alone. Yeah. Until Christ is all you have, you'll never recognize that Christ is all you need. You cling to the Savior. His presence comes and is so real. He offers peace beyond any understanding that you can think of. He's our rock. He's our redeemer. You can search all the likes you want on your phone. But until you experience Christ, you'll be dissatisfied in life. There's a world out there that needs. And when we get through this pandemic, I believe God wants to fill this place. I believe they're hungry. I think we even took it for granted. And I'm looking at the camera. All you at home, I understand that. And you need to do what's right and safe and everything else. But can I just tell you something this morning? Every one of us in this room, we're born for eternity. I know life is short at its longest. And yesterday, a little 8-year-old girl at Mitchell's, in that little casket, it got to everybody there. It's interesting, she had a big funeral. The older person that we had yesterday did not. When the younger they pass away, the more people come out. The other problem is there's more people over and gone that don't even know you anymore. One time in a church service, the pastor was up here and he was saying, "How many want to go to heaven? Raise your hand." Everybody raised their hand but one little boy. Pastor after church went up to the little boy and said, "You don't want to go to heaven?" He said, "Well, not right now." Paul's secret to content. I want to share two things that we need Christ's strength to do to overcome this envy. Here they are. Number one, we will kill comparisons. I know I'm talking to everybody else that's not here. I understand that. We don't compare in this room. I understand that. But look what Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 10:12. Get your iPad, your iPhone, however you want to do it. It's on the screen. "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves," whoo, Paul thinks, "they are not wise." Say that out loud. They are not wise. They are not wise. You see, we're tempted, ladies and gentlemen, to compare. But we're going to have to say here as our church that we're not going to do that, Pastor. We're not going to compare. Journey Church opened up before we did. Thank God we don't compare. And Restore Church hasn't opened up yet, I don't think. Well, at least we opened up. We're so spiritual. I'm talking about them, not out there in TV land, wherever it is. Okay. We're going to kill comparisons. Why should we? James, the brother of Jesus, and I've shared many times that he was never mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but after he saw his brother on the cross and we sang about it, I know no other argument that he saw his brother die, predicted, and rise from the dead. He arose. And the next day he had breakfast with his brother. And here's what James, the brother of Jesus, finally said. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition," this is James 3:14. "If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." And then he gets kind of sarcastic and he says the next verse, he says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. What's he saying? Envy is demonic, unspiritual, and it's not from heaven. That's what he's saying. James 3:16, not John 3:16, James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." That's one of the Ten Commandments. We know that. Thou shalt not covet. Ten Commandments? How many of you have heard of Ten Commandments? Okay, three of you. We're doing good so far. We're going to have you sign up for, I don't know what, small group 101. This isn't unhealthy because he says it is sin in the eyes of God. Not sure how this looks for you. What's he saying to me? I don't know how to turn this thing off. Does it have an off button? The phone? The news? Sometimes I may need to just break from social media. What if you broke from the news and began to talk to God and listen to him carefully? The other day I was so comparing, I couldn't believe I started doing it. at Walmart, hey, they don't have a mask on. At least I have one on. I know you guys have never done this. You have halos above your head. I can see them, man. It's unbelievable. Here's one. Maybe you need to celebrate the success of others. Maybe there's a reason why God has blessed them. Maybe that will begin to purify your motives. I remember in our last church, when our ministers met together every month, and we would get to know each other and in our town, and God had blessed our church. And this pastor came up to me, and he was talking to me. He said, can I see you after the meeting? And I said, yeah, you can see me after the meeting. I said, what is it? He says, my church isn't doing very good right now. I said, great, I'm glad to hear that. Because I stole all your people. No, I didn't say that. I believe something was from God, and I can't prove it for sure, but I remember I felt like God asked me, Al, would you be happy if I began to bless this church? You see, it's about the kingdom. And I believe if we begin to pray for Journey Church, and we begin to pray for St. Mary's, and I believe if we begin to pray for the Assembly of God, I believe if we begin to pray for Grace Church and Restore Church, and begin to pray in this town for every church to start growing and having a revival and God doing something, that maybe you think God would bless this church? Well, he'd say, forget that Marshalltown Nazarene. They're here, they are praying for everybody else. Maybe the reason he's not blessing you is because you're not celebrating somebody else's blessing. Good preaching, Brother Al. I know. Amen. I'll run down and say my own. So the first thing is kill comparisons. Second thing is we need to cultivate gratitude. Put that up there, Darren. Yeah, we need to cultivate gratitude. I heard this about envy. Envy is resenting. Think about this. Listen very carefully. Resenting God's goodness in other people's life and ignoring God's goodness in your life. Let me say that again. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's life and ignoring God's goodness in my own life. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. Look it up or it's on the screen. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. Oh, boy. But for the happy heart, well, I don't feel like being happy. I know. But for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Well, I didn't feel like singing those songs this morning. I know. You don't sing them because you feel like it. You sing it because he's your audience. Yes. He's the audience. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not how I feel. See, if we always wait until how we feel, the only time we ever had... Our bed is so comfortable on Sunday mornings. All week I can get up early. Sunday mornings I go, what did God do to this mattress? Happy heart, continual feast. You see God's goodness. Don't you want to be around people that are happy? Look at the person next to you and say, I'm happy. You want to be around people. Look at Ecclesiastes 6:9 as it's up there on the screen. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Be thankful because who has given it to you? God. Instead of looking at Facebook wishing you had their life. Next time you're tempted to say, I hate my stupid car. Why don't you say, I'm glad I have a car? Wish I had a better house. Why don't you say, I'm glad that I have a roof over my head? I'm glad I have things to do and places to go. Good night, I'm so busy. No, you have somebody to minister. I get to be a blessing this week to somebody. Wow. And if you do that, lives will be transformed right before your very eyes because of God. Marriages will become healed. Testimonies of spiritual and physical healing because of that happening in your life. I think I heard it last week or so, last couple of weeks, somewhere you said, Pastor, there's 14,000 people within a 3-mile radius. I was listening around our church. As long as there's one lost person, this church is not too big, the building. As long as there's one lost in those 14,000 around our church, we will continue. So we kill comparisons. We rejoice in the blessings of others, and we cultivate gratitude, worshiping God. Wow. Why? Because He is worthy of all of our praise. Because we've learned to be content, whether we have plenty or whether we have want. The secret is, I can do all things through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. In Him, I find true joy and contentment. So I'm going to reflect on social media this week. I need it in case Pastor wants to get a hold of me. But I will watch and ask God to help me control it better. The news, I'm going to listen to it 24/7 so I know exactly what's happening. As the hurricane begins to go up the East Coast, how would you know about that? Well, I have to watch the Weather Channel. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Today I'm yours. When He says to you, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Remember, Peter was out in Matthew chapter 16, you read it, but it says, who do you say I am, Peter? Who are you? Who are you this morning? I just got another phone because I dropped my other one. Huh. Who am I? I don't know how to, this morning, we had to turn around and go home. I didn't forget my Bible, but I forgot my phone. I couldn't even drive out of Conrad because, where's my phone? I know, you're saints, you don't do this. I understand all that. The halo's on your head. Who are you? Can I just say this? You are in the presence of people. You do not find out or discover who you are in the presence of other people or even social media. Did you know that? You don't find peace with them. You discover who you are in the presence of an almighty God. He wants to do a new thing in us, Pastor. We're in bondage and we don't even know it. Can I just ask you, as the praise team's coming, we're going to sing a song that's going to fit going out of here. But before we do that, I want you to just listen as they come. What's the source of your identity? I want to ask you this question this morning. What is the source of your identity? Heard this week. I shared with Pastor on Wednesday, I think it was. I heard this. One of our politicians said this. He said, are you a believer who happens to be interested in the political process? Listen to this. Or are you a Republican or Democrat who happens to attend church? Let me say that again. Are you a believer who happens to be interested in our country and in the political process? Or are you a Republican or a Democrat who happens to attend church? Wow. We can pursue everything and we'll never find it. There'll be a spiritual void in your life that will cause you to have discontentment today that needs to be filled with Jesus. Remember, we are made for eternity. You're not going to find your happiness in this. As much as we need social media, it's not there. I need to learn to trust Him. And by faith, I'm learning to trust Him that He would be enough for me, that He would break the chains. I want to share something. I like social media, I told you. I need to use it less, but I had an email from somebody this week, a friend of ours back east. He's a worship leader. And I just want to read a piece of it. This is what he did. Here it is. I saved it. He wrote this on his, for sending out the view. He said, if you could learn to sing or read these songs aloud. And he started doing this. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship, and oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Worthy of every song, I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Waymaker, he said, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. You give hope. You restore every heart. I raise my hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise my hallelujah. Wow, the work is finished. He just kept going on with song after song after song. It was ridiculous. But by the time I didn't even get half of them. By the time I got to the end, I forgot about the pandemic. I was worshiping, focusing on him. I want us to start this song, and we'll get you up as we get toward the chorus. But I want you to sit down and just watch the words as the praise team starts us and we start singing. But eventually, as we get to that chorus, I want you to sing like you've never sung. And I want you to stand with every breath of strength you have to worship him and tell him, devil, you're not welcome in this place. Pastor, God bless you as you lead us. Amen. Just stay seated for a minute and start singing with us. It's a great song. I want you to reflect, then I want you to get ready.
The same old road, yeah, for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside,
there's a better life.
There's a better life. If you've got pain,
he's a pain taker.
You feel lost, he's the way maker.
You need freedom today.
If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
After this next verse, we're going to stand. I'll have you stand.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. You've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. For saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.